You're listening to one in a series of podcasts from the 2009 High Ed Web Conference in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Good morning. So the backstory on the Pikachu, Pachachka, whatever you want to call it, is that Mark was talking trash on Twitter about wanting to do this style, and I said, I'll do it if you do it. So then he did it and threw down the gauntlet, so then I had to do it, and here we are. What it means is it's 20 slides in 20 seconds. They're auto-timed, so I will start it and set down the remote control, and then I will go. The thing I like about it that worked, I think, decently, was that I have to prioritize ruthlessly the things I talk about, and it happens quick, and then you steer from there. So then after that, it's up to you, and we go wherever you want to go. So are you ready? I know, that's kind of where I'm at this morning, too. Fake it till you make it. Here we go. All right. I'm so sorry for everybody on the podcast for what I just did into the microphone. Hopefully they'll edit that out. All right, here we go. How many of you have ever been to a dance? Last night counts. Right, so then you know there are good dances and there are bad dances. If there are bad dances, 99 of 100 people will say that a bad dance is because of a bad DJ. They will blame the DJ. However, ladies, this is how you work. When you go out, you form a circle. You keep it, put up the elbows to keep the guys out like cows protecting the young. If you have a good circle of girlfriends, then the DJ can drop the worst song in the world, I Like Big Butts, and you go crazy. Oh, yeah! So maybe, just maybe, 99 of 100 people are totally wrong. Maybe it's not about DJ, maybe it's not about the music, maybe it's about the circle of friends. So consider yourself hovering over a dance floor. The one last night would work just fine. And give it a little spectrum of engagement, from 5 being most engaged to neutral being not so engaged at all. So then you have this beautiful little pattern that starts to develop that looks like this, right? And it looks like this no matter what language you speak or where you go in the country. What we know is that 5s like to hang out with 5s, neutrals like to hang out with neutrals. So you've all been to both good dances and bad dances. So you have this in your head already, where this is a good dance, that's a bad dance. You got boom in the middle, empty dance floor with your arms crossed, making fun of the people. We don't like this. We want to go from here to here. We've got so many bad dances in so many ways. So what do? Generally speaking, we get wasted. We can do it a little better. Because the goal is to make people comfortable, right? That's how they get involved. So that's how we've always fixed this. That's why there's free beer last night and a lot of dancing. But here's how to do it in a way that doesn't result in a hangover. Number one, have fun. Number two, introduce yourself. Hey, Robin, I'm Kevin. Great to meet you. Then introduce people to each other. Robin, have you met Mark? Great. The Scott on your other side? There you go. Make small groups of people, preferably around similar states of engagement, because neutrals like to hang out with neutrals, especially if they have something in common. That's fantastic. And then get the heck out of the way. It's not about you. Really important. Step number 4 is the one that gets forgotten all the time. Some of you are visual learners, so this might help as we come up. This is what it looks like. Number 1, hey, nice to meet you. Oh, great. Nice to meet you, too. Terrific. And then it goes, have you met, right here? This is the magic sauce. If we do this, it creates a culture of this. And then more people start to spread out, and they're, have you met, and then more people show up, and boom, we've got ourselves a fantastic dance floor. This is what a great dance floor looks like. So just to review, yes, and no. This is a system with massive redundancy. This is a system with a single point of failure and a massive ego, both of which are trouble. This, by the way, is also social media douchebags in the Carlin sense of the word. So dance floors in college campuses, why this matters, is dance floors in college campuses are the exact same thing. They work the same way. We have tons of students that are sitting with their arms crossed at the metaphorical college campus dance floor. They're not involved. They're not engaged. They're not meeting people. That's a problem. The same way people leave a dance, not getting what they came for, students leave school, not getting what they came for. 30% dropout rate in the freshman year. That's what we got. The National Student Survey of Engagement says that 60% of students will never get involved. It's the same thing with the web. Web 1.0 started with is one-to-many publishing. We thought things would be static, and we realized we wanted to interact and decided we didn't want to interact with the content nearly as much as we wanted to interact with the people. So the business models that are exploding now are the ones that don't publish. They're not in the center. There's no there. Twitter doesn't tell me anything. It just facilitates the connection between me and the other people that I want to hang out with. Sorry again, podcast people. So this is the web 1.0, this is web 2.0, this is the trend of all of history. The question for you is, where is your school? Where are your technology efforts? Are you in the middle? Are you one-to-many publishing? Or are you many-to-many publishing? Here's a couple things to check. How easy is it for me as a student at your school to go find people that I want to hang out with? Do I get to see pictures? How much user-generated content is there? Paid ambassadors don't count. for bloggers. That's not student-generated content. That's still one-to-many publishing. Following, having somebody follow your president or the provost on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, fan us on Facebook. That's 1.0 thinking with a 2.0 tool. We want to do the simplest possible thing technically and politically to push this 1.0 into 2.0 realm. So one of the things, if people don't know what cars are, you have to sell them a horseless carriage. So we already have a directory on websites. This is what you can do. You click find people, you can search for a name, and you get their email and a phone number. That's the best you can do. So what might 2.0 looking like, if we 2.0 the directory that we already have, what might that look like? Well, here would be the pieces. We'd have a profile picture, year, major, and residence hall, right? We just add this stuff. This looks nice. We're starting to get into social media territory already. Then we add interest tags. We allow them to enter whatever they want. And then we do a cute little interface trick that allows us to say, whenever you're looking at somebody else, it will show what you have in common and prioritize that, right? Oh, have you met? Oh, it's a great little icebreaker. Then we'll let them connect any other service that they want, whatever the students happen to be using. They're just adding in links and it pulls in the icon. And then we have our little Lego piece. And so if we start to stack these Lego pieces, we can do amazing things with the Folksonomy. So here's the directory that we get to build. So now as an incoming student or alumni or whatever, I can quickly come in here and say, all right, who is my major? Business manager, management, great. I really like football. Turns out that's one of the most popular things. Who in my major likes football? I can then add additional things and keep flipping up. And so I go down and I see not only what we have in common, but also if they happen to be at Twitter, easy to follow, great, off we go. Those connections have been made online the same way that we're doing it at Hyatt Web. So the campus interests, it come in a big tag club. This is amazingly powerful. If I like photography, I can go in here. I can be reminded that I like photography, so I can add it to my own tags. I can see the 110 other people. I can click on the 110, which goes back to that find people, shows me the photographers, who's in my residence hall, who wants to do photography, great. Think of day one, the social capital, oh, have you met? Oh, that's gonna make a much better dance floor. Mark talked about aggregating and filtering. I'm just adding publishing to this beginning. The thing to think about this when you're going for the big picture is that publishing and filtering go together. If I know that the stuff I'm gonna publish is going to be read, I'm more likely to publish. If the filtering side delivers a relevant audience, this symbiotic relationship will reinforce and it will build up. Facebook does this amazingly. If I post pictures I know my dad's gonna comment, that's great, so I do it more. So this is the publishing part. We're just allowing them to attach anything. These have feeds. This is the aggregation parts. We're giving the groups that stand on the campus right now. And then we filter by both the interests and the groups that they've established. So this is an example. So FYE 101 class, everybody gets a Tumblr blog, super easy, totally free. That goes into an OPML file that they download just for this hashtag for that class. It goes into Google Reader, right, but students don't use RSS. That's why they use email. We do that as well, but wait, students don't really check email as much. Well, some do, but that we also take that RSS feed and put it in the Facebook fan page for the first year experience. But wait, there's more. So we can do aggregated content that's authentic content on the first year experience page for the best blogs out of this class show up there. So now admissions has the authentic content that they all want. Now orientation has a 24/7 icebreaker. Student life gets double the involvement because that campus tag club does a great matching job. Career and alumni. Wouldn't it be great if the University of Oregon, instead of asking me for my money, asked me for my knowledge and my feeds that I'm publishing anyways and gave it to the freshmen that want my job? Wow, right? So then academics gets this learning community that can be expanded much bigger than the school itself. It's so, so simple. This is not sustainable. It's not sustainable for you as IT professionals. As the publishing gets exploded, you can't be in the middle. You can't pass these conversations through. It's not as sustainable as a business model. We'll talk about that. And this is the future, and it makes a better dance. And a good dance is better for the school and better for the students. And that's why we're supposed to be here. And that's the deal. Okay, that woke me up. I don't know if that woke you up. So now is the time that you steer. That was a all at once. And then it takes a while to digest. And so a couple of categories of questions that are interesting to me, but don't feel necessarily bound by these categories. If you ask really freaky questions, we can just bring them later and I'll talk. I'm happy to talk about this in the hall. But in general, I'm really interested in why not? Why not do these things? Number two, if you want to just technical, talk about Facebook Connect. There's some special things there or OAuth or anything else that was in the description. Fun with RSS. There's amazing things that we can do with RSS feeds. Or if you want to talk about the future, we can talk about the future. So, questions, please.
I presume people would have to sort of sign up and obviously put in some extra details about what they're interested in or something like that. Is the risk that it's just yet another thing to sign up for and the opposite sort of reason? But I mean, there's just so many services doing that now and it's just another one.
Right. I think that's great. And that's a good comment. And just another thing is sort of like, it's a big pushback from the students when we do focus groups. They're like, I don't want just another thing. But what they mean is they don't want just another thing that they need to worry about. So have you used mint.com? I would like to put this in the mint.com model, because I set up everything for Mint and my stuff flows through. And occasionally when I feel like worrying about my finances, I go to it and it services my need to worry and straightens things out and makes it clear. I see this directory as being that sort of thing. They set it up once, they forget about it. But they're getting the flow of the information. Now I'm getting emails from people that say, hey, you have photography, we'd like to do photography. And on the bottom of that email it says, you're receiving this email because you are in this major and you have photography. If you'd like to change your interests on the directory, click here to go in and change that. So as long as my interests are good, I don't change it. I just get this great flow of information that's more relevant now. I don't see and I don't expect students to log into the directory as a Facebook. You can't even wall post. You just set it up and then the flow of RSS feeds or communication from other students or your class goes. So I see it as like log in four times a year, give or take, unless you get emails that are not interests and you change your mind.
Maybe like the first time to get the first register, the first time.
Yeah. Right, it's 3.5 minutes on average for the way we built it. But so, just general disclaimer, like this is a project that I'm working on, I'm definitely a vendor, but the ideas are much bigger than the way I'm implementing it. You can do this with WordPress, you can do this with, even just anything that you can implement on your own campus in this direction. So I hope that it doesn't come across like I'm really trying to give you the hard sell. But the way we did it, Facebook Connect actually helps a lot with that. Because you're telling the students up front, look, we're not fighting Facebook. We're working with Facebook. We're just giving you another layer where you can meet people specifically in school. And there's a sweet spot, seemingly, that develops in the second they get accepted up till about September 15th. If you hit them in that spot, it's sort of the freshman honeymoon, too, the first year honeymoon, and you say, hey, you want to meet people at campus. We want to help you meet people at campus. Spend 3 minutes and click around. That seems to work really well. I mean, we're getting 70% response rates off, 70% of first year class sign-up rates off email campaigns and Facebook campaigns, and that's it. Some schools are running the students through the computer lab in their orientation, and that gets, obviously 95%.
Is it easy to pull that slide back up
where
you had? Or you had
no, actually,
is
I'll try.
Where we had the one-to-many versus the other. That one, exactly.
You got 20 seconds to ask your question.
So, I think a lot of people here probably in this room understand the 2.0 model there. Most people on my campus understand the other one.
Yeah.
And for me, the roadblock is getting people to understand that over there is the good dance.
Right.
I don't. That's the hurdle for me, and I don't know if it's the same for others, but I think I probably got a good handful of people that can understand exactly what you're talking about and agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
Problem that we have is getting others to realize that basically the ones with the money,
right,
and the resources to understand that we want to do things differently because students do things differently.
Yeah. And so I think part of getting this stuff through, and what I hope in terms of, again, the bigger conversation, however you implement it, I like going after the directory. That's worked really well. Jared Spool was talking about political hacks, and or he was talking about technical hacks, right? The little things that just work, and you use whatever on the pipe. This is a political hack, where you don't make it seem like the future. You dress up the future like the present, and so you go to your folks, and you're like, well, no, we're just upgrading the directory. No big deal. I mean, we let the students bring their email. Now we're just going to let them bring their Facebook, just for them. Facebook's like a new email for the students. It doesn't matter to us. That's just what they do. And some use Twitter, so of course we let them use that, and some might have a blog, so of course we're just going to let them connect what they bring. Not a big deal. Is this social media? No, it's just another directory. Do I have to get on Twitter? No. What's Twitter? I mean, obviously I'm joking about the extent of it, but the extreme of it, but in the short run, I don't think it needs to be revolutionary at all. I don't think people need to understand 2.0 just to say, well, this is how the students communicate. Let's just all we're doing is adding links. No big deal. It has bigger ramifications, but we don't need to talk about those.
Yeah, so using your example of the directory, no reason to break the current directory. Just a matter of enhancing it a bit.
Right. Yeah. And it's just an upgrade. And so, I mean, I think you go in and then, so two things. One, make it seem as innocuous as possible. It's nothing new. It's nothing revolutionary. It's not one to many. It's not like Craigslist versus the newspapers. It's just, you know, a little upgrade, not a big thing. And attach that directly to one goal that some department really cares about, right? So you can go into orientation and you say, look, you're spending $5,000 on icebreakers right now. You pay some woman or dude to stand up and do games. What if we had an icebreaker that ran 24/7 online? The system automatically generates an email that you can send out whenever, at whatever rate you want. It says, here are three people in your residence hall, three people in your dorm, three people in your major, three people in your year, and three things you have in common. So you could send that out once or twice a week. But now I'm looking around kind of like this high ed web thing where we know each other on Twitter, and all of a sudden you have that pop where you're like, oh, you're huh, we've been talking for a year, you know, like that sort of thing. So it's just a great icebreaker. And so the orientation department might be really excited about that. Well, yeah, that does make more sense than one person for 1 hour at the beginning of school. Student life, it definitely increases involvement in groups, just period. And when you compare, it's not even a fair comparison, because right now student life is doing group fairs, right? So if I'm shy, me going out to a big area with a student leader sitting behind a table and walking up and introducing myself to all those people, that's just not the best model. It's just the best we've done so far. To say, okay, now we're going to have a group fair 24/7 online that works with Facebook, which is where the students are anyways. And we're just upgrading. So then it's innocuous and it's real focused. So I hope somewhere in there is a political hack. Other questions? Yeah.
So we can kind of pre-populate it, and then can you do LDAP implementation where they can log in?
We haven't done LDAP. Let me start with LDAP first. We haven't done LDAP yet, and the reason why is because the students like Facebook Connect better. It leads to a Facebook profile picture, and they don't actually have to log in because they're already logged into Facebook, typically with a 24-hour session. So as long as they've got a 24-hour session on Facebook, the second they go to Red Rover, whether it's on your school website or whether it's linked from Facebook, it does both, it lives both places, they don't have to sign in. And the sign-in is actually a big barrier, funny enough. I mean, like any little friction you can wring out of the UI is great. So Facebook Connect is nicer, it's a nicer user experience than LDAP. We have a lot of schools putting pressure on us to do it, but.
I think it's just so that you can pull that data over.
Yeah, well, so I mean. Yeah, okay, so then that goes back to the first part of your question.
Right.
And no, we haven't done that yet. And I'm not sure that we will. And the reason why is because of FERPA. And for the students, we want to say to the students, look, we do say to the students right now, and it's really clean and really simple, hey, this is a public directory. Anything you put on this directory is out in public. We pulled your interest from your Facebook profile. Here they are. Select the ones that are appropriate for the educational institution. If you have partying on your Facebook profile, that's fine. Leave that on your Facebook profile. Bring in anything that's positive. Now that could be ping pong or quantum physics or whatever. But, you know that this is another layer for you to manage. And so
we couldn't replace, we already have a public directory.
Yes.
And people can search for people. But if this would only include people who had actually gone and signed up for this, then we'd have to have two directories.
Yeah.
Which is much cooler, but if this one's optional, we still have to have that first one that's not optional.
Yeah. And so I would say do the Pepsi challenge and see which one gets used.
Yeah.
And there you go. You can import anything with CSV. So I'm saying we don't do it because of FERPA, and I think it raises some challenges. And I'm worried about, specifically, I want to give the students the choice to put the residence hall or not. I want that to be up to them.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to import that stuff and then have it be like, I didn't know. Even though they can go in and edit it, and so then now they're opting out, I just prefer opt-in. But, if you really didn't want to have two, and you want to,
yeah.
Looking at it from the student's point of view rather than college.
Definitely. I would like to have the default be my name and email in there, and then I add anything else if I want. Because that's just really cool. And so we're seeing, on average right now, students that add tags add 20 tags. And there are some students that add 147 tags. They go to the campus interest cloud, and they're like, I like that, I like that, I like that, I like that. And they're going to get slammed with emails when students start trying to recruit them for other groups, or like anybody wants to do anything in the residence hall or the major, whatever. And I love that idea. I love teaching the students to manage a relevancy filter so that they get emails and it says on the bottom, you're getting this because you like everything. If you'd like to like less than everything, click here to like chill out a little bit. But I think that that's great. It's like, you know, the old ham radio where you open it all up to find the signal and then turn up the squelch. You know, like let's teach them about that. Other questions? I like that question. What more do you want to say? Yeah. So, saying it's the new, it's just an upgrade to the directory. That's how I would pitch this to anybody else. Here's a couple of specific metrics. That's field innocuous. One of the things that the system does, somewhat accidentally but extremely powerfully, is generate RSS feeds. And it totally depends on the school, what the Twitter adoption rate will be and what the blog will be, and it's all over the place, and it's not what I would think it would be. Twitter adoption patterns across the country right now are not following the MySpace Facebook's typical demark between two-year schools and four-year schools. I was at Winthrop University, and 20% of their students are on Twitter. I don't know why, but I've been to a lot of other bigger schools that I would expect would be technical, and it's 1% to 3%. 1% to 3%, when you let everybody do it, is still useful. You know, if there are three other people in my residence hall who are on Twitter, I want to know who they are. That's great. You know, and the other thing that's cool about that interface, putting up the badges, it becomes sort of a Boy Scout merit badge thing, where people see, like, oh, wait, I've only got two badges, and you've got all these fun colors. What do I got to do to get the fun colors? Like, oh, I need a YouTube channel. Well, great. You know, then they were just encouraging them to share more stuff. But you get all these RSS feeds. There's tons of amazing, there's a great ecosystem around RSS feeds. Much of this is free, really powerful tools. So Wisconsin-Madison is going to launch next week for this. And Wisconsin-Madison, they're going to be able to download one OPML file of all the student-published content at Wisconsin-Madison. Right? Like, can you think of anything fun to do with that? Because I think that's amazing. And they can do it in slices, of course, right? They can do it in the marketing department OPML feed. They can do it in this class OPML feed. So they can take everything or little chunks, however they want to do it. But once they have that OPML feed, then they can do really neat things. Excuse me, this is PostRank, used to be called Aid RSS, I think that's the parent company now. But this will go through automatically and figure out what posts are being read, what posts are being commented on, what posts are being more linked to, and you can sort of tweak the variables, and it will filter through, you've got 1,000 posts, here are the top three. And you can sort of figure out what your criteria of the top three are. So now, in terms of getting user-generated content, you can take the whole, everything that's being developed, and just grab the best posts and put those wherever you want on the website. The way that the terms of service work with Red Rover is it says, we're anything that you link to us, whether it's RSS or whatever, you're giving us permission to share it with other people because that's the point of the system, is to help you find an audience. So we're assuming that if you're publishing it in public, you want it to be read. We want to help you have it be read. So then all we're going to do is publish it. The only thing you can't do is do anything that would violate their copyright or sell it. So the terms of service are really specific. We make no claim to any rights of anything. You're just giving us the ability to distribute it digitally. So PostRank is a huge help, and now you can get away from this model of paying five bloggers to be the official voice. And you've heard a number of times, I'm sure, at this conference about students can smell marketing and anything that has that veneer they don't like. And this is a way to get, instead of paying a few people to do it, you can just select from the best that's already out there. Another one I really like, free tool, FeedRinse. You can do up to 500 feeds in this one. I don't understand the business model. They used to charge for a lot of feeds, and now everything is free. So I don't know what world they're living in and how long this is going to last. But at the moment, this is how it works. And FeedRinse is really cool because you can set up your variables. You can search by tag or keyword in the post. So if you were to go to the physics department and say, look, you've got an OPML feed of the physics department. If you've got a quantum research page, we can give you the blog posts that are just about quantum research from your own people. And then that can be a live little, you know, RSS to HTML is no big deal, and that could be a badge on the side of that page. A fun little trick, you can also filter out any profanity. They've got a great blacklist. And so just as one check, because that helps, right, if you're going to automate this. Another RSS tool that I really like is MailChimp. This is a newsletter generator. A lot of people still want to read RSS feeds in their email. So we're seeing 20% click-through rates. There's great data set with MailChimp. It's super cheap, $30 a month for up to 2,500 subscribers. I think at the 10,000, it's like 70. So even if you're a big school, it's not a big deal. You could run it. You could do this for a month and a half or 2 months at the beginning of school and see what your adoption rates are. I love setting up the RSS feed, setting up the newsletter, and then just watching the click-through rates. And if they go, you can set alarms. So if they go down to 15%, then you go in and you try and figure it out. Like, do we need to filter this feed better, or is the content not good, or like, what's the problem? Should we just kill it? You know, you can experiment very easily and very cheaply. I really like Dippity for RSS feed displays. There's a lot of talk about ePortfolios, and some schools are still buying and paying for big, expensive ePortfolio systems. Blogs are ePortfolios. Macaulay College is doing a really neat job setting up all their students, this is in New York, setting up all their students with blogs, and they say to them, look, this is the museum of you, which I love that analogy. You're going to curate your own history for the sake of sharing it with other people, right? So it's your best work, and you're going to invite other people in so that they can experience your best and your history of how you got to where you are, and this is a great way to display that. Because I got this little slider up here that I can do multiple years. If I was a first-year student, I could go find a senior and back on their timeline, back to what are the blogs that they were writing when they were me, right? Like, they're killing it now. How did they get there? And so going back to the alumni, I could leave an 8-year record of my blogs and Delicious and Twitter of entrepreneurialism to any student at the University of Oregon who wanted to be an entrepreneur. What an amazing record. And I would happily, it would be so meaningful to me as an alumni to get an email from somebody to say, hey, I'm a first-year student in Watson Hall, the same residence hall that you were in, and I want to be an entrepreneur, and you are, and I read your LinkedIn profile, and you did this, that, and the other thing, and can you give me any recommendations of things I can do in Eugene, Oregon? Because I could give that kid advice that nobody at the school could do. You know, you have to meet Doug Wilson at Palo Alto Software. Tell him I sent you. Buy him a cup of coffee. He's going to hook you up. You know, that would be really meaningful to be able to leave my legacy out for other people to participate in. Yeah.
It's been really successful, a lot of adoption.
Yeah. A quick point on that and this. Google is the new resume. So if the student work is going in Blackboard or going in a PDF as their portfolio, it's gone. It doesn't exist. If Google can't find it, it doesn't help them. I can easily get on a soapbox about this, and I do on a fairly regular basis. I just really think if it wasn't just misunderstood, it would be unethical for schools to take 4 to 5 years of student work and never give it back. So we're graduating students naked into the world, and they have to start over. If we let them connect these tools and we show them models of other successful students using these tools, then they'll have a blog, they'll have a YouTube channel, they'll have a great digital identity that will help them form a peer learning network when they're in school, and a job network when they're ready to graduate. So I think it's a big, big opportunity. Yeah. I have this conversation a lot with faculty and staff, for sure. And I think the students know that it's on their permanent record. But it's so, just for a moment of sympathy, if you stood in front of a college class and said, how many of you have camera phones? 95% of them would raise their hand. How many of you had video cameras on your phone? 20%. It'll be 50% and 70% next year and the following year. Anything they take is going to go up online. Like, in that whole 1984 Big Brother, we're in it. We live it. And everything that they do is going to be photographed and videoed and put up online. And so, like, be careful what you put up online. It's like, be careful when you go outside. It doesn't mean anything to a student that is in that environment. So I think it's time to move beyond be careful and move instead towards make good use of it. You know, like, think of when we raise our kids, we don't tell them, hey, stay in the basement and be careful what you ever say online outside because it's going to be held against you. We take them to a restaurant and we teach them how to behave in public. And, you know, we say, no, not quite. That wasn't it. Try again. And I think society as a whole is going to be more forgiving of a digital record. They're just going to have to be. And, yeah, we've got a bumpy little road to get there. But with Google specifically, they're going to have awkward moments in Google. Let's teach them how to create a positive first impression and load those first three pages with good stuff. And I think that's a bigger opportunity than trying to tell them to keep it perfect, because no one is. And as we get more and more transparent, that's just going to be the way it is. The videos that came out from the dance party last night are a great example of that.
I would also argue that, you know, they're already there. This is not starting something that isn't already there. Yeah, we're talking about already feeding RSS feeds. We're already talking about pulling from other things. You're talking Facebook. You're talking Keggers. You're talking Party on the Dance Floor. You're talking, I mean, seriously. So it is a learning experience, but it's not one that it's we didn't start the fire, so to speak, you know. And it is a learning experience how to pull that. And it's really, really obvious that employers, one of the first things they do, they go to Google.
Yeah. And this will be really neat as an employer. I would love to, I would totally, if a student came to me and said, I'm interested in being the community manager for Red Rover, and they had this, I mean, that would close the deal instantly. Whoa, what have you done lately? Whoa. Yeah, you know, that would be really great. That'd be so much more useful than a resume. Mm-hmm. To watch their videos and read their blogs and see the comments.
We've actually, on the flip side of that, right, so they go to Google, they said and what you're doing instead is you're showing them your digital work. We have it incorporated through our courses, our English courses. They're working on blogs, they're posting, and it really does promote a lot of positive posts, a lot of positive work that can be found on Google. And it really is a sweet package deal, just in terms of when they walk out, they have a portfolio of their stuff that's not locked in Angel, it's not locked in Blackboard, and that's huge. Because they can take it away. How many times, you know, you've got a project, you've worked real hard on it, and you'll never see it again.
Yeah. Another thing that I get really excited about, I was talking to Robin about this yesterday, in terms of the unleashing the passion of the students that's out there. It's there. It's totally there. Like the blogs and Twitter is there. That content is there. But it's a matter of bringing it together. Right? The metaphor that really works for me, I don't know if it'll work for you, but like food coloring in the ocean, I feel like. You've got this, so it just disperses out and doesn't really help anything. On Wisconsin-Madison, there's 1,000 kids that care about climate change. If we can bring them together, we get rid of all the red of the water, all the rest of the water, and now that color is really dense, and they can find each other, and they can share content, and they can get really intense in a great way, in the same way that this conference got intense in a negative way in lunch, right, when everything was feeding, and like, I'm mad too, rah, 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 and then off we went as a mob. Just imagine if you could do that about students that were like, yeah, I want to change all the light bulbs on campus. Me too, rah, 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 and then they get together, and suddenly you have this, like, action, which is engagement, which is students getting off the wall, which is more student leaders stepping up to create these great records of successful models for other students to follow. You know, when you're in my position, standing up in front of anybody, I'm sure you do it. I talk and you're listening, and it ends up, especially in early mornings, there's like some sleepy faces, and it ends up like a one-to-many kind of thing. And if I said, turn to your neighbor and talk, the volume would go up massively, because you'd all have something to say to your neighbor, but it's a little more intimidating to raise your hand. Just think of that across your whole college campus. It's the difference between everybody sitting there like, I don't know, I don't got a question. Say something, blah, 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 blah. Like, that many-to-many is just a better pedagogical model that we can do with the technology that's already out there. I'm sorry, I feel like this is what happens when I don't sleep enough, is I rant. Other questions? I'll step down from a philosophical high horse.
I'll just comment on what Penn State's doing with their blogs. We've kind of started doing some of that. We found that it actually raises the level of quality of the students' work as well.
Because they're publishing for their peers. They care.
Not just their professors are going to be reading it, but all of their classmates. That they want to do a really good job because their peers are reading it.
Yeah.
Because people, it's sad that they'll turn it into a piece of crap to a professor.
They'll do what they can get away with.
And just do the bare minimum.
Yeah.
But you post it online where people can comment on it, and suddenly it's like they're knocking it out of the park every single project.
Well, yeah, because your peers will call you on it.
Exactly.
Boy, that was a load of crap that you decided to submit. Yeah. Try again.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
I think that's a great comment, for sure. One of the things that we're doing, this goes under hacking as well, where faculty, depending on the culture of the institution, may or may not be excited about using technology in their classroom. So with the folksonomy, you can add any tag, and we can take a tag for it via text message. So in a class, the students can just put a pound sign. We have two tags. We have the regular word, and that's an interest tag. If you put a pound sign in front of it as a hashtag, then it's an action tag. So if they send in pound CRN123, whatever the class number is, with a pound sign in front, now they're in a group automatically, and they can get the OPML file of everybody else in that class, or they can get the OPML file of just the people in their major in that class. And so that just creates a really neat use case that doesn't require faculty. So the message for faculty is, look, your students are going to send this text message, and then they're all going to find out what they have in common with each other and who likes what and what they should talk about with the person sitting next to them. And if you want to go on and claim your class and read the OPML file, you can. It's totally available to you. They're going to do it. No big deal. So super lightweight. Really, I like that model a lot. I assume there are some schools in here that are going to build their own stuff. Penn State, I'm sure you guys are working on something. So I love the folksonomy stuff. That's really worked. It's out there. Use it for sure.